141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Rangers are hit with four disciplinary charges, but no players face individual suspensions. Neil Lennon says Lee Griffiths is ready to play his part for Celtic this season, and the top flight clubs are back in action this weekend with Rangers kicking things off in the Scottish Cup at home to Stranraer tonight. Well, Gordon Duncan is sunning himself in Dubai, so you're stuck with me, Andrew McLean. And after Mark Wilson and Gordon DL attempted to host the show themselves last night, I thought I'd bring a bit of class and decorum back to the place with Jim Duffy and Hugh Keevans.
Andrew, we are about to witness Scottish football's fascination with making a mountain out of a molehill, as well as the endless need to see conspiracy and chicanery at every turn. Some of what the SFA has done today is perfectly logical and reasonable. One deliberation is unclear to me and needs clarification, but in general terms, some of the indiscipline on the park and on the bench at the two matches concerned regarding Rangers against Hibs and Rangers against Celtic was as regrettable as it was stupid. In general terms, a white-hot ending to the season does not need any more provocative behaviour likely to create tension off the park. Now, over to you, Andrew, for the charge sheet.
Yes, and it is quite a long charge sheet as well, but Jim Duffy, this morning when I woke up and I thought, that'd be a nice quiet show tonight, the Scottish Cup, the top teams are back, Rangers are playing Stranraer, a lot of football to talk about, I don't know what I was thinking.
Yeah, don't be daft. Football, I mean, that comes way down the pecking order, doesn't it? Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, you just said there, I just can't understand why we... I mean, players and staff have got to take a massive responsibility as well, because, you know, they set the standards, you know, and sometimes those, you know, whether it's deemed a bit of a joke or a bit, you know, nothing too serious, to some people it's inflammatory. So I think that the clubs have to speak to the players. I think even maybe the authorities maybe have to just refresh it, because I know they do speak to the players at the start of the season and just absolutely state how important it is for them to behave and the influence that their behaviour can have in the stands and around the game. So for me, let's not take it out of context. It's a few people having a wee shout and a wee bit of confrontation. But unfortunately in Scottish football, that's unacceptable.
Well, don't forget, there is football on tonight and on this weekend as well in the Scottish Cup. Of course, Rangers are playing Stranraer, so make sure to get in touch about that. 01419511025. But there is only one place to start, and it is the fact that the Scottish FA have hit Rangers with four disciplinary charges today. They all relate to matches from last month, and they actually spread over two games. So we'll start with the charges to Rangers as a club. So they've been charged under Rule 204. By the Scottish FA. So if I read that rule out to you, and that is that all clubs and recognised football bodies shall procure that its officials, team staff, employees and players conduct themselves in an orderly fashion at all times and or after the match. In particular, clubs and recognised football bodies are responsible for ensuring that its officials, team staff, employees and players refrain from any one or a combination of the following. So this is interesting, because this rule is then split into three separate sections. So A is becoming involved in a confrontation. B is conduct that is likely to lead or to exacerbate or prolong a hostile or argumentative situation with players and or team staff. And C, conduct that may otherwise incite disorder. So we'll start with the one that was the most recent, and that is the Old Firm game. And they've been hit with this charge twice. The one for the Old Firm game, that relates to incidents involving three separate Rangers individuals. Those are Alfredo Morelos, Ryan Kent and Michael Beale. So what's interesting there is when we look at the three separate options, you would assume that Michael Beale would come into part A of that rule, which is becoming involved in a confrontation. We saw that he was sent off. He wasn't happy after Morelos was sent off for a second yellow card for diving. He confronted an official. He then, after he was sent off, confronted John Kennedy. We all saw that in the television pictures and went down. So you can only assume that's what that is for. And then part C is where Alfredo Morelos and Ryan Kent come into it. We've all seen the gestures. Uh-huh. We know what the players did. And part C is conduct that may otherwise incite disorder. So it's the Scottish FA's interpretation that what Alfredo Morelos did and what Ryan Kent did could incite disorder. But Rangers were also cited for the same rule for the Hibs game. As you remember, both benches clashed in that game after Ryan Porteous was sent off for a challenge on Borna Barisic. So those are two charges that Rangers have been hit by as a club. And if they're found guilty of this, it will be the club that faces the punishment in the way of a fine rather than the individuals, Michael Beale, Alfredo Morelos, Ryan Kent, or anyone that was involved in the fracas at Hibs as well.
And now I'll try to introduce a sense of perspective in the full and certain knowledge that nobody is interested in a sense of perspective. If you are a Rangers supporter, you believe tonight that the SFA have tried to concoct charges against people on Rangers bench and people who were on the field of play. If you are a Celtic supporter, you are of the opinion that the SFA have acted in a corrupt fashion and should have taken a far heavier hand than they have plans to do, because Rangers have been given four charges. The verdict has yet to be returned. I think the Rangers bench in the matches involved against Hibs and Celtic let themselves down. I think that Steven Gerrard acknowledged as much in Edinburgh when he said it wasn't the finest hour for either bench. Hibs bench was involved as well. And Steven Gerrard, I think, was absolutely correct. And I think that some of those underneath Steven Gerrard on the Rangers bench should look at the manager and take their lead from him and observe his conduct. And I think that on both occasions, when Rangers officials were sent to the stand, they deserved their punishment. With regard to Kent and Morelos, Morelos made a gesture which Rangers say is commonplace in the part of the world where Alfredo Morelos comes from. Fair enough, it's not commonplace here. And to do it in the context of that particular derby match is particularly stupid. He has a red card already. He was off the park. Now he gets a third yellow card on the day. Now, that's where it's unclear for me. And you can now tell us how you get three yellow cards in one day, Andrew.
Yeah, so as we said, this came to light today that Alfredo Morelos was indeed booked for a third time during that Old Firm game. He was booked for a challenge on Scott Brown. He was then booked late on in the game for simulation. He went off the pitch. He made the gesture. He went down the tunnel. And then after the game, Kevin Clancy went to look for Alfredo Morelos. He'd seen the gesture and he booked Alfredo Morelos for the gesture. So we've seen players be booked after the full-time whistle before. The ones that come to mind for me, Scott Brown was booked right after the full-time whistle against Hearts in the Scottish Cup final last season. A well-remembered example was when Bilal Mojny was carded for having a go at Lee Irwin. So it does happen. But I suppose the questions that will rise are, why has this only come to light now, three weeks after the game?
You know, again, that's the fascination with seeing corruption every corner. You know, we've all been on a break for Christmas and New Year. Maybe there's a logjam at the SFA. I can think of no reason, Jim, why the SFA have suddenly thought, well, you know what we'll do? On Friday the 17th of January, we'll let this out because that will really upset everyone.
Yeah, just as the game comes back, you know, into the spotlight again, if the football starts again, letting you know, start it. I'm with you, Hugh. I can only presume, you know, whoever was dealing with it was on holiday. You know, whether it's the compliance officer, whether it was the group of people, you know, the legal representation and all that kind of stuff, because they will need that to make sure that the rules are put in place, they're there to be adhered to, and maybe all these type of people were on holiday. That's the only thing the only reason I think it can take so long. But in terms of the coaches' situation, obviously I was in a very similar situation a couple of seasons ago when I had that confrontation with Neil Lennon. And some of those charges that you just mentioned there, Andrew, were told to me when I went to get the punishment. So therefore, it's no different for a Rangers coach, a Hibs coach. At that time, I was the Morton coach. So it's no different for anyone else. So that's the reason why, as you say, there's no conspiracy. These are the rules. These are the regulations. And therefore, when you break them, then there's a punishment. What I'm not sure is, because obviously I get a ban, So therefore, I'm not quite sure.
Well, that's what I'm getting on to.
Supposedly going to be a fine and not a ban. Well, that surprised me.
That's what I'm getting on to now. So those two charges for the game against Celtic and the game against Hibs was overall for basically it is for players and staff not being able to conduct themselves in an orderly fashion.
Yeah.
So those two charges come into that category. The other two charges that Rangers have got are individual charges, which come under Rule 203, which is no member of team staff shall commit misconduct at a match. So those relate to Michael Beale, who was of course sent off against Celtic. We've been over that one. And the other one is Tom Culshaw, who I'm sure many people will remember was sent off against Hibs. John Potter at Hibs has also been charged with that. The two of them had a bit of a flare up. The two of them were sent off. So those members of staff, they can all, if they are found guilty, then they will face a suspension. But no players have been given individual citations, but the staff have.
There should be a dignity that comes with office when you're at a club as big as Rangers, and indeed Hibs. So John Potter doesn't get off scot-free here. There should be a greater level of dignity shown on the bench. We know it's a highly charged atmosphere. However, what happens on that bench can have a negative effect on the crowd behind you. So they should look at themselves, all three. With regard to Morelos, as I say, the gesture was excessively stupid, and he should be told. It was only a few weeks after he had made another excessively stupid gesture to the Motherwell fans and got himself a second yellow card and therefore a red card in that game. Very stupid. And to Ryan Kent, I would simply say, any celebration that involves the simulation of a gun, just forget it. Don't be so stupid.
0141 951 1025. First up is Jim, who's a Rangers fan in Kilmarnock. Jim, what are your thoughts tonight?
Hi, I'm just going to touch on something you just said there, Lanouda, about any suggestions about Morelos and Kent from there. What about the stuff that Neil Lennon does in most games? A Lee Griffiths rubbing his nose on a Rangers flag or tying a scarf on a post.
Hold on a minute,
Morelos gets the abuse he gets from guys like yourself, pundits and writers and newspapers and stuff is disgusting. It's actually a form of bullying. See the way you treat him. See if any South American young guys were thinking about coming to Scotland. See for the treatment that guy gets. I think it would put them off the way you all treat that wee guy. The way that guy gets treated in the Scottish media is shocking. It's nothing but short of bullying the way you treat him. It's disgusting. Neil Lennon does this every week, tucking his ears, fists up at the fans every week. It's only Neil Lennon. He's passionate. That's what he's all committed with. He's passionate. Lee Griffiths. You're just saying it could have caused trouble. What could Lee Griffiths have done blowing his nose in a Rangers flag at Ibrox? It could have caused a massive riot, you. But that's all right. No,
hold on a second. You're accusing me of something when you're not even given the chance to speak. Anyone who indulges in that kind of provocative behaviour is in the wrong. We are in the middle of a white-hot end to the season and we do not need this kind of behaviour. I vehemently deny any charge of bullying Alfredo Morelos. I have complimented him time without number on the job that he is doing for Rangers. However, the gesture was inappropriate. And you ask why we're not talking about Neil Lennon tonight. This is a news programme. We are dealing with a judgment which has come out from the SFA today. We are talking about today's dealings with the SFA as they relate to Hibs versus Rangers and Celtic versus Rangers. If we're going to go over everyone's past history, we'll never get anywhere. We're dealing with today's news.
Well, thank you to John, but let's not forget there is football on tonight. Rangers taking on Stranraer in the Scottish Cup, and we've got Joe Hendry at Ibrox to give us a taste of the build-up.
And I think everyone inside Ibrox this evening would be surprised by anything but a Rangers win, but you never know. It is the Scottish Cup and anything can happen, as the Stranraer manager said yesterday. Rangers went into the winter break buoyed by that victory against Celtic, and Steven Gerrard has said this is a competition that he wants to win. So he'll be looking to lay a marker down, not just in the Scottish Cup, but for the rest of the season as well. Stranraer, they've got a few familiar faces in their ranks with Ryan Stevenson and Jamie Hamill, both ex-Hearts. Ryan Stevenson returning to football after a few years out, and Jamie Hamill has, of course, backed Stranraer to win 1-0 and keep a vital clean sheet. but that's not something they've done too frequently this season. The League One side sit bottom of the table. They were also beaten 2-0 by Rangers under-20s in the Challenge Cup in August. So it is hard to see how Stevie Farrell's side might overcome the Rangers' first team tonight. Well, Stephen Gerrard's team selection will be interesting, though. We're expecting lots of changes. We know Tavernier and Morelos are out. We're expecting Jermaine Defoe up front, but will youngster Nathan Patterson get the nod? He done well over in Dubai, the 18-year-old. Or will it be John Flanagan or Matt Polster in that right-back position? We don't have too long to wait to find out, but what we do know is George Edmondson is starting in defence, and the thing is, for Rangers this season, they do have plenty of options. Stranraer have been boosted by the return of defender Lee Hamilton. He was back in training this week. Denny Johnson is cup-tied, though, after he made a brief appearance for Falkirk earlier this season. Now, the last time these two sides met in the Scottish Cup, it was February 1989, and it was 8-0 to Rangers that day. So it will be interesting to see if the visitors can fare any better tonight. As soon as I have the team news confirmed, though, Andrew, I'll get it to you.
Jim Duffy, it's good to have the football back, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's good for Joe there to talk about the game, talk about possible team selections, maybe surprises in the Rangers ranks. Will he throw a couple of players in that haven't really had first team football? You know, with the best respect in the world, because I know Stevie Farrell very well, and you know, the players there, you know, they'll give everything, and they'll really look forward to the occasion. But you know, Rangers should be able to change their squad and still win the game comprehensively, so that should be the case. But it's going to be, you know, something that is just really getting Rangers back into the rhythm again. And I think that's what Stephen Gerrard will use the game for, you know, just to get his players back into game mode again, game mentality, as you said. Not just us talking about it, but the players getting switched back on again after that little break they've had.
Well, Celtic fans, we want to hear from you, because after the break, we'll be hearing from Neil Lennon. He's talking about Lee Griffiths' future at the club. That's all coming after the travel with Stephen.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Road Accident Solicitors. The compensation you deserve when you've been sidelined. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Jim Duffy here with me, Andrew McLean, in the Clyde One Super Scoreboard studio tonight. Plenty to get our teeth into, including the fact that Rangers have been hit with four disciplinary charges today. Two of them relating to the club, two of them relating to members of staff, and also Hibs being hit with two disciplinary charges as well. So the staff, Michael Beale and Tom Culshaw, both facing suspensions if they are found guilty, and John Potter at Hibs as well. Hugh, it's always interesting conversations when we get to these disciplinary matters, but it's ones that people want clarity, and I understand when fans are confused at why some procedures are immediate and some take 2-3 weeks. And I think that is a question that people will be asking, is that why does it take this long?
Well, the endless need to find a conspiracy somewhere. Before anyone comes on and says Ryan Christie, yes, Ryan Christie was fast tracked. The SFA have a fast track system that does not apply to the cases that they have highlighted today. Now, if anyone can tell me what difference it makes to have Tom Culshaw and Michael Beale brought up on the 17th of January rather than the 10th of January, a week ago, can someone tell me what difference does that make to anything? This is the way it happens. There's fast track, and then if you have fast track, presumably you have slow track, and they're on the slow track.
Yeah, I think that, as I said before, there's a panel, isn't there, you know, that deliberate over these things. And that panel, I think, is a number of people. But let's just say you've got a dozen where they pick three people, and you all, one of them's always going to be a legal representation to make sure everything is done properly. So again, like anybody, these people might not be there. They might just not have them. They might be away on holiday. You know, like everyone else, it was the holiday time for a lot of people. So, but it's in football, it's almost as if, but we're not allowed to have a holiday. Wait a minute, these people are not directly working in football. They're working in all different walks of life, but they come together to make a judgment if the Claire White and the judicial, or it's a judicial panel, then makes a decision. So listen, it's the 17th of January. It's not ideal, because we really do want to be talking about the football and the start of the Scottish Cup, which is a huge weekend for so many clubs, and yet it's getting pushed way further down the pecking order.
01419511025 if you want to get involved. Michael is a Celtic fan in Rob Royston. Michael, what are your thoughts tonight?
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call, guys. I'm just a bewildered yet again with the SFA first of all, the timing. And I know I've listened to you there. I understand what you're saying, but it just seems to be a laughable that it didn't come out at the time that Morelos was booked after the match. And I think you've made a point about other players getting booked after the 90 minutes. But I've never heard of a player who was red carded being booked after the 90 minutes. And I don't know if any of you guys have. And I think Jim was saying something earlier on as well about other players as well. And I think it's just the timing of this thing came out today. It's just nonsense to me. And there's so many decisions that went, it's bewildering. And if you remember Flanagan, I think it was Flanagan elbowing Scott Brown last year, and on appeal it was put down to a yellow card. And that to me was a deliberate red card all day long. And there's just some strange decisions coming out of the SFA, and the whole disciplinary system at the SFA needs an overhaul, and people need to understand. Who uses this conspiracy theories? And it's little wonder this conspiracy theory is going about when there's all this silly and nonsense delays and bizarre decisions, and also the decision for Ryan Christie to be cited and banned for and Morelos not to be banned for the exact same offence.
I do appreciate the inconsistency argument, and I raised it on the night that Ryan Christie's ban was imposed. I said in this programme, for me it's inconsistent, because Morelos on Christie was not treated in the same fashion as Christie on Morelos. However, Michael, you forgive me if I focus on today's events. If we're going to go back over everybody's charge sheet, we'll never get anywhere. So the people on the bench, John Potter, Michael Beale, and Tom Culshaw, for me, they did not behave in a way becoming the posts that they hold. You cannot have rammies on the touchline. We live in delicate times. This season is poised on a knife edge, and you've really got to be conscious of how your behaviour impacts on the crowd. Now, it comes out today, as Jim Duffy said, there has to be a legal process involved. There has to be a legal person there to make sure that everything is above board. In the case of Michael Beale, John Potter, Tom Culshaw, there is no conspiracy, for heaven's sake. With regard to Alfredo Morelos, he's already been booked twice and therefore sent from the field of play. On his way to the dressing room, he executes this extremely insensitive and stupid gesture. He's then booked by the referee after the game is over. The referee can't bring him back onto the park. He's just sent him off. He can't bring him back onto the park and show him a yellow card. He does it the way they do it, and that is to go to the dressing room, ask to see Morelos, and let him know he's been shown a yellow card. It goes on his record, and it will contribute towards another punishment if he gets the requisite number of bookings or red cards. It will go towards another punishment. He's not been let off scot-free. He's been booked in the only way that Kevin Clancy could book him.
Can I ask, see that in this situation, you're saying a yellow card was given to Ryan Kent and Alfredo Morelos, is that correct, Andrew?
No, just Morelos.
So just Morelos, right? So he's been given a yellow card. So is that not just, why is he then been cited for what, if he's been given the yellow card?
So he's been cited in terms of, it obviously relates to the incident of him making the gesture, but yeah, it is not acting within the best interests of football, but acting, you know, not in an orderly fashion, I think is the, yeah,
but
what the phrase
I'm
they
is
say.
The referee's already given him a yellow card. He's obviously given him a yellow card for that particular reason,
uh-huh,
because it's not in the right spirit of the game or whatever it happens to be. So they've given him a yellow card, so therefore it's not as if the referee hasn't, he maybe hasn't seen it coming off, but he's been informed, he's given a yellow card. So for me, I would think Well, that's it, over and done. I don't understand now why he's been cited for something more than that, because if it had been something more than that, the referee would give him a red card. But he didn't. It was a yellow card, similar to the situation with Motherwell, where
is it not the case?
So that's a yellow card. I think that should be done and dusted. I don't get why he's been cited here.
Kevin Clancy's been obviously dealt with at the time, giving a yellow card, but it's more of a sort of accumulation of things that, you know, the Michael Beale incident, the Alfredo Morelos incident, the incident.
I get
with
Rangers as a club, possibly,
but he hasn't been cited individually. He has been cited as a sort of grouping of incidents, and his part of the incident would come under conduct that may otherwise incite disorder.
From Rangers' perspective.
Yeah, but I mean, if you look at his gesture to the Motherwell fans, he was also booked for that. So if it was an individual sighting, then it's. You wouldn't get a two-game ban for something like that, is basically the SFA's view on it. Their view is that, yes, he was given a yellow card, but there is also, there has been a few incidents where Rangers players were involved in it, or staff
It's a failure on Rangers' behalf to keep everyone under
control. For Rangers as a group, and he's been part of that. I was kind of reading there that he was going to get a further punishment, and I'm thinking, for a yellow card, why? It's a yellow card. It's done.
In a sense... You know,
he isn't, but the club will.
The third yellow card goes on to his record.
Yeah, he gets 3 points.
And further down the line, it will lead to another ban. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people are reading into this, 3 yellow cards in one day. Therefore, there's something.
I think you'll remember, Hugh, many years ago, was you say, we're not going to go back to them all, but I think, was it Billy Abercrombie? I think got 3 red cards as far as I'm aware, off the pitch. So, Alfredo's got a few to go before he catches up in Aber.
Final point to you, Michael.
Well, what I'm a bit bewildered about is why, at the time when they were talking about the Ryan Christie thing, why did they not come out and say, or even after the game, come out and say that Alfredo Morelos was booked for his gesture? And to me, the gesture was more than a yellow card offence. If I was to make a gesture like that, in a local bar, I'd be looking to get arrested.
No, you wouldn't. Come on now, Michael. Be sensible here. Rangers issued a statement afterwards, which I would take issue with, where they said, where Alfredo comes from in Colombia, this means the end of the match. Well, that may very well be the case in Colombia. However, Dalmarnock is not in Colombia. And when he did that in Dalmarnock, then it means something entirely different here. So it was very stupid. He pays a price in the form of a yellow card. It goes towards his disciplinary record. But Michael, in this day and age, I know that we're supposed to be offended by everything, but do you really think that, I mean, I've read on social media people talking about this being a death threat. Michael, do you really, in your heart of hearts, do you really believe that?
Well, sure. What I would just say is that, listen to you guys who are experts on football, what chance does Joe Public have with all these inconsistencies to the referee to understand the rules? Somebody needs to have a look at that and make it, in layman's terms, point out is let the communication come out a lot quicker, put it that way, and maybe we wouldn't be the world.
But I've said to you, there's a fast track system, and then there's the other ordinary system. Ryan Christie came under the fast track system. Now, on the night his ban was imposed, I said on this programme, you can go back and check. For me, it was inconsistent, overly harsh. But the SFA say, no, I am wrong. Their law is correct. And by the letter of their law, Ryan Christie get banned. So it's an SFA matter.
Yes, they're rules. I mean, the thing is, I mean, Michael, I get that. You can hear that almost he's exasperated by some of the decisions. But ask, I mean, we've been doing this for a long time, as involved in football. We get frustrated every single week with decisions.
Yeah.
You know, whether I'm been involved in clubs, whether I've played, whether I've been out of jobs and I'm going to games, I'm baffled every week. If I watch on TV, I'm baffled. I'm baffled with the VAR. I'm baffled with every game. Will throw up controversy, decisions. And also sometimes when you see down south, some managers, which you used to be when Wenger and Alec Ferguson were at each other, would almost be put down as, look at that, it's almost like theatre. Other managers would be getting thrown in the lines and be getting fined and suspended. That's just the way football is. But when it comes to Celtic Rangers, people seem to think there's a different way, but it's because they're the two biggest clubs, the highest profile, the most TV coverage, and therefore people rightly or wrongly judge your football by those two clubs and judge our game by maybe how the fans behave. So it's maybe a bit unfair, but it's no different, believe me, from Dumbarton and Stranraer. You know, you get really frustrated by decisions. One week somebody goes in and it hits him in the hand and the referee goes no penalty. The next week it's identical, someone gives a penalty. I think football accept the decisions, and as I said to you, but as Hugh said, in this white heat of this second half of the season, I think that's going to be falling on deaf ears.
Well, thank you to Michael. Raymond is a Rangers fan in Pollock. Raymond, what are you thinking tonight?
I was just baffled with Hugh's take on Ryan Kent's goal celebration. Can you remind us, Hugh, what your take on it was?
Anything that involves simulating an action with a gun, you should just get it out of your mind altogether. Don't do that. It's insensitive, unnecessary, and stupid.
Were you saying that when Robbie Keane was doing it every second week or every week?
Now, why Robbie Keane comes into this, I do not know. However, Robbie Keane was entirely wrong as well. Anybody who's
wrong to do a celebration with a gun?
Yeah.
Why? What do you do when you get the ball inside the box? You shoot, don't you?
You're coming up with a convoluted explanation for this now.
I've got another explanation.
Have you ever seen anyone shoot a gun with their foot?
No, but you shoot the goal, don't you?
It's completely Raymond, different meanings of the Raymond, word, Raymond.
Raymond, yeah, as I've said to you, you come on here to bring Robbie Keane into this because Robbie Keane used to play for Celtic. Now, it doesn't matter who it is. I don't care if it's Robbie Keane, Roy Keane, Diane Keane. It doesn't matter. If you simulate a gun action, you're wrong. Don't do it. It's daft.
Nothing in that at all. You're putting stuff in that. He actually explained it was a tribute to a hip-hop duo from America. It was got nothing to do with anything that's in your head or with anybody else's head.
And what were this hip-hop duo doing?
Well, it used to be a duo that didn't cease to operate, and it was basically a tribute to them. That was all it was.
I think it was maybe on the front of one of their albums, Smith & Wesson, I think was their name, that Brian Kent said he was a fan of, and he said that it was in tribute to them.
Really?
I mean, it comes down to this. What do we need to do? Bloody explain every single celebration that we do now. I mean, come on, it's ridiculous. It's getting ridiculous.
It's not a witch hunt. The fact is that there are some celebrations. I mean, we see it all the time. There's a multitude of celebrations that players can do. We see all sorts of crazy celebrations nowadays, all sort of rehearsed situations that people of my age think, oh, look at the state of them doing their little handshakes and high fives and that stuff. But that's fine. There's no harm in that, and it doesn't offend anyone. But, you know, regardless, listen, whether it's, you know, Robbie Keane doing it or whether it's Ryan Kent, it doesn't matter. Even if it is a tribute, it's like someone, you know, the media, as I said, if someone gets a tattoo or certain tattoos and somebody sees it, then someone will bring it up. It's just the world we live in. And I just think, rather than bring attention to yourself, there's a lot of other celebrations. It's the same as celebrating. We said celebrate in front of your own fans, but players being players, they might get a bit of stick, they might even get it all day, and then all of a sudden you think, well, the first people I'm going to go is to the opposition. And again, it's unnecessary. And I do think that the authorities will, you know, make it a tougher punishment in future, because that is the way the world was going. You know, people are becoming more offended by less offensive things, if you want to say that. And I just think, listen, players have got to take a fair degree of responsibility. There's Raymond, no point saying someone else done it as well.
Raymond, come on. First of all, to say, why did you not say this when Robbie Keane did it? He made a gun celebration. So then, midway through, Raymond decides, but it wasn't a gun celebration. It was in tribute to a hip-hop duo. Give me a break.
There is football on tonight. We'll be getting team news from Ibrox after the travel with Stephen.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the league leader for compensation. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Jim Duffy here in the Clyde One Super Scoreboard studio with me, Andrew McLean. Rangers playing Stranraer tonight, and we've got breaking team news from Ibrox, where Joe Hendry is.
Hi, Andrew. Yes, as predicted, lots of changes for Steven Gerrard's Rangers tonight. 7 changes in total. They go with Wes Fotheringham in goals. A back four of Patterson, Edmondson, Katic and Halliday. Jack Davis and Aribo are in midfield, with Arfield and Jones supporting lone striker Jermaine Defoe. On the bench, there's Firth, Flanagan, Polster, Mayo, Kennedy, Barker and Ojo.
What do you make of that, Hugh?
It's a non-match for me. With respect to Stranraer, they're cut adrift at the bottom of League One. They'll be in League Two next season. They have players in their team who 3 or 4 weeks ago were playing the juniors. They're playing a Rangers side who, yeah, is much changed from the Celtic game on December 29, but is full of players who can make this what they want it to be. Joe told us it was 8-0 the last time the sides met at Ibrox. It could be 8-0 again if Rangers want it to be that way. I mean no disrespect to Stevie Farrell and to everyone at Stranraer, but they are involved in the definition of a mismatch.
Jim, this is always a good time in the season for the bigger teams in Scotland to maybe change around their squad, give some players a chance that haven't had a chance before. The one that really sticks out in the lineup is Nathan Patterson, just 18 years old at right back. We know James Tavernier is injured, but it's a big ask to be thrown straight into the team at 18.
Yeah, I mean, he bombed up and down the pitch. I was talking to a couple of people. I've seen the game again, over when they were over in their winter break, and they were very impressed by him. And I think obviously that's what Steven Gerrard has been as well. And you know, he needs some young players to push into his squad. You know, and he said he's already trimmed his squad by losing a couple of players. So you know, if he does get one or two injuries, he doesn't want to be keep getting out all the time and looking to find them elsewhere. So again, it's a good opportunity tonight. Rangers will dominate the game, dominate the ball. So you know, Wes Fotheringham going back in, I mean, he won't have much to do. Obviously Patterson will be bombing on all day. Andy Halliday getting a chance, Edmondson getting a chance. A lot of Rangers fans, and you know, from phoning up here, have been looking forward to seeing him on a more regular basis. But since Katic has got in again after the injury, you know, he's did really well and obviously scored against Celtic. So it just gives these guys a chance. In Jordan Jones, what, first game in 3 months, is it?
Yeah, you know, since the Celtic game.
So again, a chance for him to try and reignite his Rangers career. And you know, yeah, listen, there's a lot of things that Steven Gerrard will be looking for from his team tonight. Stevie Farrell and his team will just want to try and make sure they're as organised and disciplined as they possibly can be. They will try and frustrate Rangers. They'll try every trick in the book within the rules. Slow the game down, take your time with goal kicks, throws, etc. But I think there's been over 40,000 tickets, I think, sold for this game. So it's going to be a huge test for them, but a huge money-making exercise as well. Frank McEwen, one of the coaches, said that this will keep the club alive for several years. So, you know, I think that's got to be put in perspective as well.
I think one criticism there's maybe been of Rangers over the last few years, Hugh, is the fact that there hasn't been those players coming from the academy through into the first team. This is a sign that maybe the next generation is coming through. Do you think Nathan Patterson will see this as a good opportunity, because James Tavernier's out, we know he's out for the next couple of weeks, to put in a good performance here and see if he can stake a claim to play in the league matches as well?
Of course, he knows that when Tavernier is fully fit, we'll be back out again. However, there's no harm in painting a good portrait of yourself while you are given the opportunity. I think over 40,000 tickets have been sold because the Rangers fans, they really do believe the pendulum is swinging in their direction, and they really do believe that they can win league and cup, and they really do believe that they might have won the Betfred Cup had it not been for Fraser Forster, and what the Rangers fans will forever claim was an offside goal. So they're there tonight to kickstart the second half of this season in the belief that Rangers can win league and cup. We'll reserve judgment on both of those things until nearer the time, but with tonight's game in mind and taking tonight's game in isolation, Rangers will win it more than comfortably.
Jordan Jones is an interesting case, because when he came in, I think he maybe surprised a few people with performances early on in his Rangers career. One particular moment I remember is that cross for Alfredo Morelos for the header against Legia Warsaw that actually put Rangers into the group stages of the Europa League. But of course, he then came on against Celtic. He got himself sent off. He injured himself in the process. Do you think there's a bit of redemption that needs to be done there in the case of Jordan Jones?
Yeah, I think so. I think you know, he let his team down that day and let his manager down. I think Steven Gerrard, you know, made it pretty clear to him that, you know, that that's, he's got to show me a lot, not, you know, just on the pitch, but his whole approach to playing for Rangers. And I think that you know, listen, tonight isn't really the game that you would say, well, if he has a stormer, that's going to, you know, cover a multitude of sins. But you know, he is a player with talent. He is a player with pace. You know, if he's fit and he's playing at the top of his game, he will compete. Because, but he does play in the same position as Ryan Kent. He was signed before Ryan Kent. Once the Rangers then decided we'll pay £7 million, it's unlikely that he will become a regular starter. But tonight, as I said, like a number of players, gives him an opportunity to at least say to the manager, yeah, okay, I know I'll not be an automatic starter, but I can be an impact player for Rangers. I want to be part of Rangers. I want to be part of this challenge for the title.
You deal with players at Stranraer's level. What do you think will be going through the players' heads at this moment in time, when we're not too far away from kickoff and they're going to play Rangers at Ibrox?
Well, the first thing they have to do is get the stadium and the grandeur out of their heads. You know, when we heard Josie earlier on, that the players are out, the Stranraer players out early looking about, and sometimes it's actually better to get them out earlier. So you get all that out of the way, because when they walk in the front door at Rangers and they see the marble staircase, then they go left to the dressing rooms, then the size of the dressing rooms and the pitch and the stadium and all these sort of things. Yeah, I mean, it can take your breath away at times if you're a player. A lot of these players might never have experienced it. So it's the first time they've been there, or they might well have been fans and sitting in the stand one time. A lot of things like that. So it's getting over that aspect of it, and then realise, listen, see when the match starts, forget all this, forget all the fans around about you, forget the kind of, as I said, the grandeur of the stadium and the history and all that stuff. Let's make sure we do ourselves justice. And that's basically what Stevie will be trying to feed into his players, is that go and you're putting yourself against top class players. You know, go and make it an awkward night if you can for Rangers. Listen, it's unlikely, but that's the kind of messages that I think they'll be trying to make.
Complete contrast in the fact that Stranraer fans will be hoping for a shock and Rangers fans might be disappointed if they're not scoring five or six tonight.
I think the Rangers fans will go in the expectation that they will score five or six. That's the way it should be. Sometimes things are as simple as you think they are, and Rangers beating Stranraer is that simple for me.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Yes, it's your time to try and beat the pundit. You could be coming up against Jim Duffy or Hugh Keevans to see if you can win a signed ball. All you need to do is get more questions right than them. Sounds easy, doesn't it? But we'll see if the pressure gets to you. All you need to do is make sure you phone 0141 951 1025 before the news at 7, and you could be on air taking on one of these two.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the form team for compensation for more than 40 years. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Welcome back to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hugh Keevans and Jim Duffy in the studio with me tonight. Plenty of interesting topics tonight, and of course Rangers kicking off the Scottish Cup weekend. They are at home to Stranraer in around 45 minutes time. You're also in action tomorrow, Jim Duffy, away to Aberdeen. Not quite the high life that some other clubs would be doing, of a nice quiet night in a hotel up in Aberdeen tonight.
No, not at all. But listen, I mean, I think if I went to the directors and said, listen, could we go up there the night before, they would have tried to make that possible. But the players want to be as relaxed as possible, want to be as normal as possible in the preparation. So we'll just go up on the day of the game. You know, we're not quite as Stranraer Rangers, but you know, it's probably the next one down in terms of a lower league, you know, in terms of playing the higher league. So you know, it's a very, very tough tie for us. There's absolutely no doubt about
that.
And
what percentage of the gate do you get, Jim?
You get 50% less whatever costs I think they have. I think there's about 20% cost, then you get 50%. So yeah, the club will make a bit of money, but it's not like what we said about Stranraer. It's not going to keep the club surviving for years. But it will certainly help the budget. There's no it'll help the running costs of the club, and a significant help. You know, I'm not denying that, but very, very tough for us. You know, we've been absolutely frustrated recently. We couldn't get players in, and you know, for players going back to their parent clubs, three players going back to their parent clubs were on loan, injuries, illness. So yeah, but for me, similar as I've just said about Stevie, Steve going up there. I've got to ask my players to go and make it a challenge, make it difficult, make it awkward, you know, be competitive. And at least if Aberdeen are going to win it, make sure that they're up for it. You know, that we don't just hand them the game before the game's, you know, before the ball's kicked.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Time for Beat the Pundit and time for our caller to see if he can beat either Hugh Keevans or Jim Duffy and win a signed ball tonight. It's Edward, a Rangers fan from Falkirk. Edward, you feeling confident tonight?
I was confident about 5 minutes ago, but not so much now.
Why is that? Why are you not so confident anymore, Edward?
They're all just the nerves, maybe. I'll give it a go and see how I get on.
Okay, I'm sure you'll be all right. I'll read you through the rules. Of course, it is 30 seconds head-to-head. You can pass, but this is your chance to beat the pundit. You're up against Hugh Keevans or Jim Duffy. Have you got a preference who you want to play?
Probably Jim Duffy.
Why is that?
Hugh's always on top form normally, so...
Oh, here we go.
Let's avoid him.
Let's see. Heads for Hugh Keevans, tails for Jim Duffy. And it is heads. You're up against the man on top form, Hugh Keevans.
Good luck, Hugh.
All right, Edward, same to you.
Right, here we go. I will make sure to give Hugh a bit of Clyde 2 in his ear. Is that thumbs up from Hugh? So we are good to go on this. 30 seconds. As I said, you can pass if you want, Edward. It's Beat the Pundit. Here we go. What was the name of Clyde Stadium prior to moving to their current home?
Pass.
Who has been named Hearts captain?
Pass.
What year did Rangers last face Stranraer?
2015.
Which East of Scotland League team do Clyde face in the Scottish Cup tomorrow?
The Bonnie Rigros.
Which junior team faced Hibs at Easter Road in the 2010 Scottish Cup?
Auchinleck.
Which Scot has joined Empoli in the Italian Serie B?
Henderson, I can't remember his surname.
There we go, I'll take that. Right, here we go. Let's bring Hugh back into things. How do you think you got on, Edward?
Started off shaky, but don't know. Recovered that a bit in the middle, but we'll see how Hugh gets on.
Right, okay, Hugh, are you ready?
You still listening to Clyde too?
Oh, I don't think I've brought him back. There we go, Hugh, you ready?
I am.
There we go. That would have helped if I'd put Clyde 1 back in your ear. Here we go. Yeah. Hugh, ready to beat the pundit?
I am.
What was the name of Clyde Stadium prior to moving to their current home?
Sheffield.
Who was named Hearts captain?
Craig Halkett.
What year did Rangers last face Stranraer?
1989.
Which East of Scotland League team do Clyde face in the Scottish Cup tomorrow?
Pass.
Which junior team faced Hibs at Easter Road in the 2010 Scottish Cup?
Linlithgow.
Which Scot has joined Empoli in the Italian Serie B?
Pass.
Which Premier League winners faced Morton in the Intercities Fairs Cup during the 60s? Quickly.
I'm glad you weren't getting the question today, I'll tell you that.
Oh, out of time. There we go. Edward, how are you feeling after that?
I think it's a close one.
Right, let's see if you are correct or not. So the first question was, what was the name of Clyde Stadium prior to moving to their current home? That was Sheffield, so that was 1-0 to Hugh. Who's been named the Hearts captain today, Jim? You know that one?
I have not got a clue.
Stephen Naismith. Daniel Stendhal is named Stephen Naismith. So it stayed 1-0 to Hugh. What year did Rangers last face Stranraer? It was 2016. It was a 3-0 win at Ibrox in the League Cup. So it stayed 1-0 to Hugh. Which East of Scotland League team did Clyde face in the Scottish Cup tomorrow? Edward, was that a guess or did you know that one?
I'm fairly confident I know that one.
There we go. Bonnie Rigros. So it is 1-1. Which junior team faced Hibs at Easter Road in the 2010 Scottish Cup? That is Irvine Meadow. Neither of you got that right. Which Scot has joined Empoli in the Italian Serie B on loan?
Liam Henderson.
It is Liam Henderson, and Edward got that right. He wasn't sure about it, but he said Henderson, so it goes 2-1.
Hold on a minute. Edward. He said Henderson, but they say Liam Henderson.
I'm giving him Henderson.
I'll tell you what. How can you pluck a surname with no Christian name?
It's not bad, actually, the surname.
I knew there was a Scottish Henderson playing in Italy, so I figured it had to be him.
Edward, listen, I'll happily give you the ball, but
it's a card drop.
The only reason that Hugh is arguing with that is because I asked him which Premier League winners faced Morton in the Intercity's Fairs Cup during the 60s, and he couldn't answer that one, and that means it finished Hugh 1, Edward 2. Hugh, well done.
What was the answer to the last question?
It's Chelsea.
Alright, well,
Edward, you happy with that?
Ah, very much so.
Excellent stuff. We will get you your signed ball once we get your details. What are you thinking ahead of the Rangers game tonight? Looking forward to it?
Yeah, I'm actually sitting outside Ibrox just now in the car. Hopefully not too many issues, but you never know with these cup games.
Yes, you do. When it's Stranraer at Ibrox, yes, you do.
Well, there we go. Edwards has got his signed ball. He's got the first part of night in store, and he's just hoping for a Rangers win now to top it off. That is, Hugh, the first defeat in Beat the Pundit of 2020. And it's on your hands.
And it's done on a card whop.
Well, a conspiracy. It's all conspiracy.
Yeah, it's a conspiracy. Mm-hmm. If it had been me that had said Henderson, no, you don't get the point. You didn't give his surname, his Christian name. Well, anyway, bring back Gordon Duncan, I say.
Well, 0141 951 1025, we want to hear from you. Celtic fans interested to hear what you have to say about this, because Neil Lennon speaking today, he says that Lee Griffiths is ready to play his part for Celtic in the second half of this season. He said the striker's hungry for game time and that he's had no inclination that Bayo wants to go out on loan.
Well, at the minute we've got Oddson, him, and obviously Griff. You know, Griff's looking good. He's had a good Dubai trip, you know, and he's trained well again this week, so maybe not. We'll see how things go over the next few weeks. I can't comment on speculation surrounding any player, really. There's been a lot for the last few months about Griff, but he's hungry and he wants to play, and you know, he's made that pretty clear to me.
Is there maybe scope for Bayo to go out on loan? I think there was reports saying that he was looking for that.
Well, again, I can't comment on individual players, but you know, he's had a few injuries, so he's just coming back from a long-term injury. He's back in training now, so I've had no inclination of that whatsoever.
Well, it's an interesting one, Hugh, because I think a few people thought with the signing of Patrick Klamala that maybe Lee Griffiths' days at Celtic were numbered, but that seems to be a vote of confidence from Neil Lennon.
Yeah, it certainly does. No outward move for Lee Griffiths. I think Bayo has been found wanting and is not in Neil Lennon's plans, not now, not in the future, short to long term. You would think that Edward would start the match tomorrow. Celtic will get 31 cup wins in a row, an astonishing sequence. They obviously want to make it 32. They want the League and Cup double, or the quadruple treble, as it would be in their case. You would think they would start with Edward, but I would expect to see both Griffiths and Patrick Klamala at some stage in the match.
Jim, part of being a manager in the 21st century is dealing with social media, and that was Lee Griffiths earlier on this week. I think he tweeted, and this is as 21st century as you can get, was three upside down smiley face emojis and also a GIF. Do you know what a GIF is, Hugh?
Something that you shouldn't look in the mouth.
Not quite, no. It's a sort of short moving picture, and it was of himself sort of putting his fingers in his ears, and then he deleted his account altogether. So that naturally questions arose after that, because people weren't really sure what Lee Griffiths was meaning. He liked a couple of tweets that suggested that maybe his time was up at Celtic, but Neil Lennon saying that he has been putting in the hard work in training.
Yeah, not quite the seagulls and the trawlers with Eric Cantona. But yeah, I mean, it's listen, you know, when players do these things nowadays, there is a bit, you know, cryptic confusion with it. But, you know, for Lee Griffiths, he just has, I mean, he hasn't played any real football for more than a year. And that is an awful long time, an awful long time. We know he's had a variety of issues, both physically and mentally. But he really has to, in this half of the season, you know, not even if it's not for his long-term future at Celtic, it's for his own future going forward, is to say to people, listen, I'm healthy in all aspects, I'm ready to play, and I'm still a good player. Because he is a terrific player. But Celtic can't hang around too much longer and wait to see. And I think, you know, Neil Lennon's basically saying, listen, there's competition here. So if you want to compete, fine. If you don't want to compete, I think there still could be an opportunity for him to move before January 31.
01419511025 if you want to get involved. Paul is a Celtic fan in Kirkintilloch. Paul, are you pleased that it looks as if Lee Griffiths will be playing a part in the second half of the season?
Hi Andrew, hi Hugh, hi John.
Hi Paul.
To be honest, I've kind of forgot about Lee Griffiths. I don't mean I forgot about him, but I don't think he's a reliable player that you can pin your hopes on. So I think Celtic have done the right thing. They've went out and signed another striker, as they were crying out for. No offence to Lee Griffiths, he's not for a hard time, but I don't know if I can see Lee Griffiths coming back. There's something not quite right. Everybody's wrong when he came back, but we can't wait on him, you know, we can't wait. So they've went out and spent the money, and they've brought in what seems to be a young guy who's I don't know a lot about him, but he's a Polish under 21 international, and seems to be playing at a reasonable level, so I'm quite happy.
Well, you have to assume that Celtic, having spent that kind of money on Patrick Kwamala, expect him to make a contribution. I'm not expecting him to come in and win the league for Celtic on his own, but you have to think that business like this is done because you believe that he can make a contribution, even a periodic contribution between now and May, and score some goals that will help. And for that reason alone, Edouard is first in the pecking order, Kwamala would be second, and Lee Griffiths would be third.
Paul, the fact that Kwamala has come in, there's now Edouard, Kwamala, Griffiths and Bayo, do you think that something will need to give out of those four players in terms of outgoings at Celtic?
Well, I don't know the now, but the way I look at it is that Kwamala will be Edouard's replacement at home. We'll sell, that's the way we operate. I've heard a lot of people saying they're underwhelmed by Celtic's business, but we're in the whole of Scottish football is in an underwhelming business. I mean, nobody signs really empty. I mean, I don't mean loan so much, but nobody signs empty. You've heard that it's Celtic are in the business of signing guys and making them possibly into stars and getting a lot of money. So I think if they thought that amount of money out, obviously with going for the title again, but I think ultimately with the business head on, they'll be looking, this I think will be Edouard's replacement.
Well, I think it's premature to describe him as Edouard's replacement. First of all, Edouard cost three times as much as Kwamala did. Secondly, none of us have any idea what Patrick Kwamala can bring to the table. Therefore, it's premature. You may be correct. However, it's premature to suggest that he could in any way be Odson Edouard's replacement.
I think that you'll find that players, young players, last year Oliver Burt came in and Timothy Weir. And when Timothy Weir came onto the scene, even just for, you know, a few cameo roles, everybody's kind of went, oh wow, he looks a real player. And Patrick Roberts would obviously be there as well. So they've brought in young players to make an impact, not always every game, but maybe just enough to give them that added advantage. And I think Kwamala is definitely one for the future, as is Greg Taylor. You know, but I don't think just paying the money out guarantees you heading at Celtic now. You've got Oliver and Cham, who cost £4 million, is not a regular player. You've got Greg Taylor, who at times has to play third choice to Johnny Hayes in Ballingolly. Mm-hmm. So I think what he's doing, in Neil Lennon, what Celtic are doing, is they're looking not just now, but kind of medium term as well, and how they can develop these players. And if Odson Edouard is still there come the summer, then I think, you know, the Kwamala will have had understood what it means to play for Celtic by that time, and then there'll be a bit more competition. But at this moment in time, I think you've got to give the boy time. He's come in the middle of the season, in the middle of probably one of the most dramatic possible seasons that there might be over the last 7-8 years, and he's got to be able to handle the expectations. Maybe over the last 2 or 3 years it may have been a wee bit easier for him to come in, but now he's really got to pretty much hit the ground running.
Is tomorrow the perfect opportunity to get him involved? Neil Lennon saying today that he will be in contention for the game. I think his last action was mid-December, so Neil Lennon said he's maybe not completely match sharp, but you know, he's been in training with Celtic today, that there is a chance that he could be involved?
Yeah, again, similar to what Rangers have done tonight, I expect Celtic to maybe use one or two other. I mean, listen, Partick Thistle's a Championship side, you know, higher obviously than Stranraer or anything like that, but it's a great pitch at Firhill. You know, it's a Glasgow derby. There'll be a great crowd there, great atmosphere. So I think Celtic can still afford to maybe the likes of Greg Taylor, maybe Oliver Ncham, perhaps Lee Griffiths starts, you know, and maybe throws the gauntlet down early on him and say, look, Klamala's there, Edward's there, this is your opportunity. But I think there'll be a few changes for Celtic tomorrow night as well.
Well, the transfer window is open and now you can switch your sofa for a game thanks to Clyde One Super Scoreboards and Ladbrokes. Next week, play the Ladbrokes transfer window for the chance to win tickets for you and a friend for an SPFL match of your choice. Win with Clyde One Super Scoreboard and Ladbrokes. Please gamble responsibly. And make sure to get in touch because we'll be hearing Neil Lennon's thoughts on their imminent new signing, Ismaila Sorow, and also going back to Ibrox after this.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Getting you full compensation is their goal. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Jim Duffy here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. John Paul's been on the line, but I need to set this up quickly. The full-time teaser, if you want to get your question on air, simply send it to fulltime@clyde1.com. We've got a topical one tonight. So Rangers, of course, playing Stranraer tonight. Stranraer managed a 1-1 draw with Rangers back in 2013. Simple as this. Name the Rangers starting 11.
Where's Fotheringham?
No.
No.
Thank you.
2013, let me think. Rangers starting 11. Ian Black?
Ian Black, yes. That's one.
I think
there's a few easier ones in there and some tricky names as well. Final guess from each of you.
Bilal Mosny.
Bilal Mosny, yes. I think I actually mentioned his name earlier on. Hugh.
I'll get back to you.
This could be a long night. John Paul is in Fauldhouse. John Paul, what's your point tonight?
Evening, panel. How's it going?
Good.
Hi, John Paul.
Just a couple of points. We're listening there. The first one about the league, I think, you know, Matt, I'm a big fan of him, I love him. I think obviously completely different to Edward, but when he's actually at it, a couple of years ago he's at it and he's in the box, he can finish, he's sharp, he's running in the hand, he's hitting in the turn, he's obviously scored before the season, proven goal. So I think when he's at it, he's up there with the best in the country. But for me, I know he had his issues, but for me, the more and more the weeks and months go on, it's looking like his Celtic career is in serious bother, you know, and it pains me to say that because, as I say, he's a fantastic player, but I also get the fact Neil Lennon's only given 10 minutes here and there, but he can't be doing, for me, just in this my opinion, he can't be doing enough for me in training, working harder and showing the manager why he should be on the part. You know, I spoke about the Greg Taylor thing as well, I'm not going to go into that again, but I would love to see Lee Griffiths back. I hope he does get back, and for Celtic fans' sake, for the team's sake. My other point, going on to tomorrow's game, listening to the team selection there, you know, trying to not be as difficult to Partick Thistle as much as I can, but is this a perfect opportunity for Neil Lennon to play Chaved or Alzani, you know, with Morgan away, Sinclair away, Christie Band, and I don't know if that kicks in or no, but I just think it's a perfect, it's a Championship team, Partick Thistle are concentrating on the league, the main priorities in the league, and I think it's a perfect opportunity to get one of them in, and you know, you kind of look at them over the break, I've been watching their training on Wednesday, you know, and I think that it's a perfect time. I just hope it doesn't go with Johnny Hayes, because why not try one of these guys? You're going to have a team very, very good enough to beat Partick Thistle. I don't even know what the panel think of that.
Well, Neil Lennon was very complimentary towards Marion Chaved when they were in Dubai. He said they look very lively again. Tonight there are also suggestions that Danny Arzani could be involved tomorrow, not necessarily in the starting 11, but on the bench. With regard to your point about Lee Griffiths, Edward is number one. If you pay the money that they've paid for Patrick Klamala, he has to be number two. Lee Griffiths last scored for Celtic in August. That's 6 months ago. You know, if Neil Lennon is serious about Lee Griffiths, then have him on the pitch at some stage tomorrow and let everyone see how far he has come on. But in recent cameo appearances, he's looked well off what Celtic require in the back half of the season.
Jim, I suppose it's all about balance really when it comes to these ties, because, you know, fans want to see these fringe players given their chance, but the manager knows that they have to win the game, and it might not be beneficial through them to throw in guys like Shved and Arzani who have not kicked the ball all season really.
Yeah, I mean, again, as you say, it's getting balance right, giving an opportunity to players without underestimating the opposition. You know, I mean, you can underestimate the opposition at your peril sometimes in football. And although Celtic should have enough quality, as long as, you know, you've got that sprinkling, you know, right through the team, maybe seven or eight of your regulars, and then you could perhaps put two or three guys that you might feel could benefit from the game. I can't see Shved or Anzani starting, you know, but, you know, I say that it's one of those situations where Celtic do have a big squad, obviously just signed another two new players, you know, over the last week or 10 days or so. So it's trying to integrate them all, as well as possibly trying to get someone at Lee Griffiths time. But, you know, again, I get from John Paul that, that there comes a time when you've got to then say, no, enough's enough. And he either, you know, he either gets himself right and ready to compete, or he moves on. I'm not sure when that time is. As I said, I think the next couple of weeks will be vital for him.
Well, thank you to John Paul. Neil Lennon also talking today, confirming that the signing of Ismail Assoro is close, and he gave Celtic fans a taste of what they can expect from him. He also gave an injury update after the players were away in Dubai.
A deal's been agreed, and we're just waiting on the paperwork being done now. So hopefully that can get resolved over the next few days. Yeah, it'll be good. He's a good player, you know, strong, technically very good, quick across the ground, hungry. We've done a lot of work on him. Obviously, we did a lot of work on Klamala as well, so he's in the building. So it's good to get a couple of players in to freshen things up a little bit. Yeah, he's like a number six, you know, very powerful. Gets the ball back, you know, he's got good close control. He's quite smart with the passes. But at that age, he's still got a little bit of work to do in terms of his tactical awareness. But, yeah, we like what we saw. We'll just give him the time to adapt. And, you know, I think he could maybe play some games between now and the end of the season.
How's the squad looking for tomorrow?
Well, with a few injuries, you know, obviously Ryan suspended. Yeah, Elianoussi and El Hamid, you know, they're still out. El Hamid, you know, we don't know the extent still. He picked up a groin injury again in Dubai, so we'll see how that's going along. Hopefully Moy will be fit for the end of the month. And James Ian and Chris Iyer are doubts as well, so we're monitoring them today.
Hugh, where do you think Ismail Assoro fits into Neil Lennon's plans? Because he talks about him as a number six.
Yeah.
Scott Brown and Callum McGregor really seem to have those two positions nailed down. Celtic do have other players that can play in that position. He is only 21 years old.
Yeah, Ismail Assoro sounds to me like buy him for 2 million and sell him for 10 if you can, further down the line. But you have Neil's word for it that he doesn't expect him to play on a regular basis between now and the end of the season. He is definitely the work in progress. If Patrick Klamala turns out to be a work in progress as well, then I would find it strange to have spent your money in the January window on two works in progress when the league is hanging by a thread and you know, you're still involved in the Scottish Cup. We'll see about Klamala tomorrow, because I think he really will feature, not necessarily from the start, but at some point at Firhill we'll see Klamala on the park, I'm sure. But Ismail Assoro does sound like the classic Celtic signing: pay small, sell big.
I mean, Celtic have obviously found success in that system that they've used for transfers, Jim, but it always doesn't work out. Doesn't always work out, sorry. You look at Ebuwe Kouassi as an example, but when you get it right, the rewards can be incredible.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, you bring a number of players in, you know, there's only going to be very few really in reality that, you know, become a real success, you know, all levels of success. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you've got someone like Stuart Armstrong you can bring in for £1.5 million or whatever it happens to be and sell him for six or seven. You know, that's a big success. Kieran Tierney, obviously, bring him through the system, £25 million. So there are huge successes as well. But I don't really think that that's the thought of Neil Lennon at this moment in time. That might, you know, be, you know, something that, you know, further down the line. But he's got to get adapt to the Scottish football, Scottish culture, Scottish weather. You know, a lot of things, the style of football, the tempo, the intensity, the aggression, all these sort of things. And that, I think that's the reason why Neil Lennon saying, listen, he'll expect to play a few games this year, and then they maybe look to be make more of an impact next season. But listen, you know, it's happened already. You know, with Celtic, you know, there are times when they didn't fancy or not think a player, young Jeremy Frimpong, wasn't expected to play many games, and now he's pretty much one of the first names on the team sheet.
We're Scottish, we can't adapt to Scottish weather.
Gary is a Celtic fan in the Gobbles. Gary, what have you made of Celtic's business so far in the transfer window?
Well, basically, I don't really know much about Patrick Klamala, but I have seen, obviously, clips of him, and he does seem to come with some goals. So he needs to kind of hit the ground running. I'd love to see him come off the bench tomorrow. I don't really know much about this boy, Soro, either. I would have loved to have got young Jack Clark in from Tottenham, but I believe he's went to QPR on loan. Yeah. So that's the end of that. But I think we definitely need to bring in another defender and possibly another. I wouldn't even say another striker now. Another defender, and I think we'll probably be fine for the rest of the season.
I noticed that Jozo Siminovic featured in Dubai. You know, he's done a good job for Celtic when requested. Hasn't played for a long time, but he might be a re-emerging figure in defence.
Yeah, another thing, El Hamad, who's injured just now, although he is a right back, can play centre back as well. And as I said, with Jeremy Frimpong in there, you know, it might be something that when he's fit, Neil Lennon looks at. He did say that Christopher Ayer would be a doubt for the Partick Thistle match. I think when a manager mentions him, you know, like that, it generally means that, listen, he's not going to play.
Gary, transfers aside, is there anyone in that Celtic squad that you feel you'd maybe like to see more from in the second half of this season?
I'd love to see Greg Taylor maybe fit in at left back. I don't know if I trust ball and goalie. It reminds me a bit too much of Boyata. He seems a bit unsure himself on the ball. But then again, my main point for phoning up was to complain about the Celtic fans' treatment of certain players, citing that we're a bit spoiled in recent years. I mean, Greg Taylor's just one of some Scottish players that we've brought in from Scottish clubs, and the Celtic fans have just basically not given him a chance. Jack Henry, obviously, the news tonight that he's signed a short-term loan deal to go to Australia. Obviously, good luck to the big man. He's not hit the ground at Celtic yet, but you know, his confidence isn't going to get any better with Celtic fans on social media, online, you know, messaging and just basically saying he's not good enough. And I'm just reading some of the tweets that Celtic fans are putting out there, and I run a few Celtic pages on social media, and I was actually dreading putting up the news that Henry was away to Australia because I knew the reaction. But you look at the likes of Scott Allen, we bought from Hibs, never really got a chance. Taylor, obviously, I'm more hopeful for. Lewis Morgan, he's away to America. Another one the Celtic fans didn't really want to see there. Jack Henry has got some amount of abuse, so I think we're always quoting on and always banging on, rather, about being a club for all and a club for, you know, open to all, and yet we don't back our own players. So I think it's about time that the Celtic fans woke up and realised that we need to give these boys a bit of bang.
I think if you're critical of a player, that's fair enough. People have been critical of footballers since time began. If you allow that to become personal abuse, as social media can be guilty of doing, then that's another matter altogether. But Jack Henry had gone way out of the picture at Celtic, and you know, good luck to him with his move. Bolingoli, for me, I'm not a fan. I just think he's an accident waiting to happen, and Taylor would be a better bet for me.
Well, thank you to Gary. We'll be going back live to Ibrox after this.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. They play to win every time. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Jim Duffy here with me in the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Rangers taking on Stranraer tonight. We'll go straight back live to Ibrox to get a bit of team news and also the build up to the match. Joe Hendry.
Yes, Andrew, there are 7 changes for Rangers this evening. Out go McGregor, Tavernier, Goldson, Barisic, Kamara, Morelos and Kent. In comes Wes Fotheringham in goals for his fifth appearance of the season. Nathan Patterson makes his debut at right back, the 18-year-old. Edmondson, Katic and Halliday complete the back four. Davis and Arfield are in the middle with Ryan Jack, who captains the side this evening. Aribo and Jones will support lone striker Jermaine Defoe. There's a mix of youth and experience on the bench for Rangers with Andy Firth, John Flanagan, Matt Polster. There's Lewis Mayo and Kai Kennedy, both academy players on the bench this evening, with Brandon Barker and Shea Ojo. For Clyde, they make one change from the team that drew 3-0 with Clyde a few weeks ago. Max Curry is in goals this evening with Robertson, Allen and Cummins at the back. McManus, Pignatello, Elliot, Hamill and Ryan Thompson. He comes in for James Hilton, who drops to the bench. And up front, it's Andy Stirling and Ryan Stevenson. On the bench, they have Dale Burgess with Lee Hamilton, who returned from injury this week. As I mentioned before, James Hilton, Robert Jones, Lewis McIntyre, Lewis Dunn and Scott Phillips are all back from injury as well. Now, kickoff isn't far away. But first, the stadium will fall silent following the passing of former Rangers goalkeeper Bobby Brown.
And that's the way it should be. Bobby Brown passed away at the age of 96, an old school gentleman. 296 appearances for Rangers. Someone who had a remarkable career, Andrew, in many ways. He once played for his school in the morning, was spotted by Queen's Park, who immediately took him to play against Celtic in the afternoon, and it was Queen's Park 4, Celtic 4. Now, Bobby, of course, is well remembered and possibly will forever be remembered as the man who managed the Scotland team who played England in their first match after winning the World Cup, and Scotland won 3-2 at Wembley. He gave a debut that day to Jim McAleog, young Glasgow boy, and the young Glasgow boy scored the winner. Coming right up to relatively the present day, I remember going to the Hampden Hall of Fame dinner when Bobby Brown was in his 90s. He got up to speak. He was as sharp as a tack, articulate, and as always, a thorough, thorough gentleman.
Well said. I actually know someone that interviewed him not too long ago at the age of 96, and he was still driving us. Quite something.
Fantastic.
I have abandoned the full-time teaser up until this point, so let's get a few more names. Stranraer managed a 1-0 draw with Rangers back in 2013. Name the Rangers starting lineup.
Wallace.
You've got, yes, so you have three now. That's Bilal Mosny, Ian Black and Lee Wallace.
Lee McCulloch,
yes.
Was our old pal Andy Little about?
He was on the bench.
Cammy Bell was the goalie.
Cammy Bell was the goalkeeper. That is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You've still got 6 to go. I think
Jamie Ness.
Jamie Ness, no.
Nicky Clark.
Nicky Clark, correct. And a namesake for Nicky Clark? Anyone?
Another Nicky or another Clark?
Nicky.
Aye, because I thought you might have been at an orbit. Nicky Law?
Yes, Nicky Law. Right, we'll leave that there. You've still got 4 to go. Right, we're just looking at the pictures coming through from Ibrox, and that's quite a crowd for a Friday night, fourth round Scottish Cup tie.
People have withdrawal symptoms. You know, they haven't seen Rangers play since the 29th of December. That game finished on a memorable high for Rangers. The fans have been counting the days to welcome the team back to Ibrox. And there it is in front of them. You know, I may be horrifically wrong here, but for me, Stranraer are lambs to the slaughter.
I suppose winning breeds that positivity, and the fans will want to turn out, Jim, to see Rangers, and they'll be hoping that they can put up the numbers tonight.
Yeah, of course they want to come out and show the fans that, you know, they've come back refreshed and ready to continue their challenge, you know, for the two domestic trophies that are there, and still remember still in the Europa League. So, you know, there's an awful lot to play for Rangers, and these players who, you know, we spoke about tonight, maybe like Andy Halliday, Jordan Jones, Edmondson, guys like that, you know, these guys have got the opportunity to say to the manager, we want to be part of that, because they're still challenging in three tournaments, so they're going to need the squad, and he doesn't want to weaken the squad at any time. So yeah, I think it'll be, it will be a real test for Stranraer. But, you know, for me, again, you've got to put things in perspective. And, you know, the gulf in everything regarding Rangers and Stranraer is enormous. But as I said, it's up to Rangers, really, and it's how badly they want to win and how much they want to win and how much they want to score, really.
The kick the Scottish Cup takes on a completely different dynamic this season because the final is before the last day of the league season, and that could be really vital. Everyone's expecting the league title to go down to the final day. It could well, and whoever wins it, if it is Rangers, if it is Celtic, that could give them a massive boost going into the final couple of games of the league season.
Absolutely. You know, I'm on record here as saying the cup will be won by Celtic or Rangers so long as they avoid each other in the draw, because I don't think that at the moment any club outside of Celtic or Rangers can win a cup competition. You might, just might, beat one of them along the way, but in all probability you'll meet the other one in the final. I don't think that we have a team in the country right now who can beat Celtic and Rangers to win a cup.
That just can't be the mindset of the players that are coming up against them, though. They need to have that belief that they can go out and beat Rangers or Celtic, whether it's in a league game or whether it's in a cup game like this.
Well, it happens. I mean, it's happened already this year. I mean, obviously, they're both lost games, you know, to teams out with each other. So it can happen. They could draw each other if they both won, and then one of them's out, and then you can have a decision where, you know, goes for you. The goalie can get sent off, or something could happen. You know, there's a lot of things that can happen. To win, as Celtic have done, was it 31? You say there,
31.
It's incredible,
yeah.
Because normally you get some sort of bad luck or bad decision somewhere along the line. So that's incredible. But you know, in any given game, it can happen. You can have a decision that goes your way. If somebody gets sloppy, for instance, and the striker nicks a ball for centre half just naturally reacts, a little pull of the jersey, bang, red card. It can impact a game. So, listen, tonight at Stranraer, I mean, some of their players will be looking, playing against the likes of Steve Davis, Jermaine Defoe. Listen, it's a fantastic opportunity for some of these players to put their wits and their skills against, you know, Some of the best players that have been around for the past 10 years or more.
An early touch for Stranraer goalkeeper Max Curry there. He's a big Rangers fan. That will be an added element to it for him as well, being able to play at Ibrox.
Well, that's what I said. You know, I've been there with other teams. You know, you go to Ibrox or you go to Celtic Park, and you know, half your team supports one team, half the team supports the other team. So, you know, that's football for you. But when they go there, you know, they want to do well. I mean, I remember my old pal Chick Chandler, you know, and there's no bigger Celtic fan than him, but he absolutely loved playing against them, and you know, he loved scoring, you know, in the occasions he did. So, you know, it doesn't stop you competing, and doesn't stop you wanting to win the game.
I know you think that it's going to be not a close contest at all, Hugh.
A formality.
But how important is it that Rangers do get that early goal? Because we do know that Ibrox, sometimes if that early goal doesn't come, the crowd can get a bit frustrated.
Yeah, but Rangers will want to hit the ground running and have a reaction, a positive reaction to the win over Celtic. And when Celtic play tomorrow, they have to hit the ground running as well. We do know that midweek, when Celtic go to Kilmarnock and Rangers play St Mirren, that's when it gets really, really interesting. I said at the start of the season, in this particular season, a draw is a disaster, a defeat is a catastrophe. Those words, I believe, have even more weight now that we're about to begin the back half of the league season.
3.5 minutes gone at Ibrox, and it's goalless between Rangers and Stranraer. Let's get back to this teaser, shall we? Because Stranraer managed a 1-0 draw with Rangers back in 2013. Simple as this. Name the Rangers starting 11. So far you've got Cammy Bell, Bill Elmojny, Lee Wallace, Lee McCulloch, Nicky Clark, Nicky Law and Ian Black. Four to go.
Barry Mackay?
No Barry Mackay. I'd say two of them are names that should be very familiar to you. Two of them, not so much.
I'm trying to think about one of the boys that I've got at Dumbarton. So, Kyle Hutton?
No Kyle Hutton.
Right, so what did you say, four?
Four to go. You've got a defender, two midfielders and a striker.
John Daly,
oh. Yes. Three to go. I'll take another guess from you, Hugh.
Struggling here.
A defender and two midfielders. No.
I remember the player, but I cannot get me. There's enough French centre back.
That is
French
a good route to go down.
But I can't remember. I can't for the life of me remember his name. I just know I can remember seeing him, that Kerry boy French, but I can't remember his name.
Right, okay, we'll get back to that. Another interesting point from the game tonight. No James Tavernier, so the captain's armband. I think there was a few suggestions. It could have gone to Alan McGregor. It could have gone to Stephen Davis. But it's Ryan Jack that's got that tonight. That's a big ask.
I think that's a mark of respect from Stephen Gerrard. He clearly rates Ryan Jack, who, after a kind of wobbly start to his Rangers career with too many red cards, he has become a very influential player, part of the Scotland squad as well. So I think that is a token of Stephen Gerrard's respect for Ryan Jack.
Andy Halliday is another player who's, well, he's not really seen much game time at all this season. I think Stephen Gerrard described him at one point as a sort of captain off the field. He really seems to be limited in his opportunities these days.
Yeah, everyone knows, and he's a big Rangers fan and that. But you know, I think that he's limited opportunities. You understand? Again, Barisic has been as unbelievable, you know, in the last few months for Rangers. He has a natural midfield player, but can go and play left back. Again, he gives Rangers options, which you want as a squad. And again, I thought maybe he might be one he might look to move out. But unless, you know, it's a real opportunity for Andy Halliday, I don't think he's going to be in any hurry to get away from Rangers. I think it's a club he loves and a club he wants to be part of. So I think even if he's on the bench and used sparingly, I think he'll be still quite happy to stay there.
Right, not long to go now. Let's go back to this teaser. The Rangers starting 11 from when they drew 1-1 against Stranraer in 2013. You've got three to go. You've got a defender and two midfielders.
Yeah, I'm struggling. I can't even
give us the Frenchman's initials.
SF.
Stefan.
Nope. It's quite a French name.
F something.
Sasha Distel.
Or something like that.
Seba
Fori.
Yes.
Flory or Freddy.
I'll give you that.
Like
Sebastian Fori. There you go.
Fori. Right. Okay.
Yes.
Right, okay.
So we've got like that. Two more to go quickly. Nah, two midfielders. Fori. One came through the Rangers Academy. Went down south.
Lewis McLeod.
Yes. Lewis McLeod. Yeah, and finally, another midfielder. Definitely not an easier one to get. He came from Central America, South America?
No, I was thinking worked well before.
Initials AP.
And Andrew. No, I can't. I think I know who it is, but I can't think.
I think you've been defeated. It is Arnold Peralta. There we go. That is the Rangers team. That's the Rangers team that drew 1-1 with Stranraer. But join us tomorrow. We'll be back. It's GBX Friday. Up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation you deserve. When there's been foul play, talk to Thompson's.com.
At Oatly,